The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hegstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hegstrom, and it's such a privilege to join you again this Saturday morning. I'm, of course, joined in studio once again by executive producer of Education Nation and my co-host, Mark Durkin.
And another good morning to you,
good
Rebecca.
Good morning to you as well. We've had such a beautiful week.
Oh, I don't want it to leave.
I know. No. Me neither. So, in a couple days at the Liberty Classical Academy, the lower school students are going to be having an opportunity to bring some of the world's key historical figures back to life in a live presentation.
Yes, just a couple days, this coming Tuesday, actually in front of family and friends, that students from the second to fifth grades are going to present a human timeline within their chosen historical characters throughout the history of the world. Mm-hmm. And Liberty Classical Academy uses a curriculum called the Chronological Quest to explain how the school uses the classical method to teach history.
Yes, and actually it's not exactly a curriculum. It's actually something that this wonderful woman next to me developed a long time ago. But it is a part of our curriculum and a very valuable part of our curriculum at that. So joining us in studio this morning to discuss the benefits of this curriculum, and this curriculum I say again, and how exactly the students are learning history using their classical method is Liberty Classical Academy's Director of Curriculum, Kathy Smith. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us again on Education Nation.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you've been with us a few times.
Yes.
I think the last time you came, you brought several
students.
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Yes, yeah. And I think we had all different age groups, didn't we?
We did.
We represented the grammar, the logic, and the rhetoric
stage, right?
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Yeah, that was a... That was a full studio that day.
That was a confident bunch, too. Just the way they walked up to that microphone.
Oh, I know. They had no fear. They had no fear at all. You know, that's what a classical education does. It's wonderful. So before we get started, or before we get into the specifics concerning the chronological quest, Kathy, could you just generally explain for our listeners why the classical method is important in teaching history?
Yes. Well, I believe history is important taught, whether it's a classical education or any education. Mm-hmm. So, but especially in a classical education, it is the foundation. It is the foundation that's needed to be laid very strongly so that the students can attach more information to it. They can attach literature, they can attach science, they can even attach math onto the historical time frames if they can have that understanding. I like to think of it like a coat rack that they put on with little pegs on it. And as they're learning new information, they can attach all those things onto the pegs based on the history foundation that they have.
Mm-hmm. Because at Liberty and at other some other classical schools as well, we teach it in
sequence,
right? So in chronological order.
Yes, yes.
Ironic that we have the chronological quest. But in first grade they get ancient history, and in second grade they get medieval, and third grade they get Renaissance, and in fourth grade they get modern, and then that repeats. Two more times before the kids graduate from high school. And as you were talking about, those time periods really are the pegs.
They really are.
So
Rebecca,
they might remember, I learned that in second grade. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that means it's medieval time period if they have trouble remembering. So they are able to just attach and organize the information around that.
And it's also really neat because as those different layers are laid through the three stages, the teacher who is teaching that time frame again, they don't have to teach that much on each of the particular historical characters because the kids come in already with a knowledge, a basic knowledge of them. And so then they get to dive deeper, which so I think that as a benefit that we can't even put into words because the teachers just really can go much deeper.
Right. That's such a gift. Well, turning our attention to the chronological quest, what grade levels is this activity actually geared for, and what is the objective?
Yes. Well, can I describe it a little
bit,
first of all? So chronological quest is a quest for knowledge about historical people that they will be studying in the upcoming year. And so this is geared for second through fifth grade. So each class or each grade has a certain historical period that they're focused on. And so we've pulled 20 to 30 characters from that period for and given each child one of those characters. Hmm. So this also has a research element where they have to go in and we teach them how to research in books.
Mm.
We
do in books.
Actual books. In books and in encyclopedias.
That's
and
all start, right?
Yes, yes. You know, as a curriculum director,
what a novel idea.
I know, I'm very passionate about the tools and the skills that our students need. It's one thing to go to a computer and just type in a name and it pop up. It's another thing to be given a set of 26 books that you have to decipher which book would I go to and where in that book would I find the information. Once I find that information and read it, I have to reduce it down to the most important parts. And so we do that. We hold the hands of the second graders.
Of course.
But third, fourth, and fifth, they do that on their own. And what blows me away each time is how much the kids enjoy that quest. Because when they find it themselves, there is a sense of pride and joy. So as they're putting it down, they're excited to tell their neighbor, oh my goodness, this is, you know, this is what happened here and this is what happened here. And you know what? I'm related to you. You are my father or my grandfather. And it's, you just sit back and you watch this, the light bulbs going off with the students. And it's just really exciting. And that's what history should be like. Mm-hmm. It should be an exciting story. So they do the research. They put together a poster. Then they prepare to present that information in costume on our human timeline on Tuesday.
Wow. And this takes place in the gym.
Yes.
And it takes up a lot of space.
Yes, there's a lot of
Because you actually have them all lining up from ancient. So that means, you know, you're going to have the first graders and the fifth graders in the same area or no?
This year, the first graders have their own ancient history day.
They do?
Yeah, so this is
second through fifth grade this time
around. So the fifth graders are the ancient. So they'll start it off, which is wonderful. It's a leadership thing for them as well because they get to show the rest of the students what it looks like. And what in the gym, they're going to say who they are and the thing that they're most famous to be remembered for. So this actually has a hidden agenda, I'm going to be honest. By doing this event each year, our students review about 125 characters each year. And they remember them. They remember them because so-and-so was that person. And they are so excited next year. I want to get Leif Erikson because so-and-so was Leif last year. And so it's kind of a, it does have that hidden agenda. But the fifth graders start and they say who they are, what they're most famous for. And we start from the farthest back and then move our way around from the fifth graders. And it goes to the second graders, the third graders. And then it ends with the fourth graders where they're doing modern history.
Okay. On top of that, what would you explain is in terms of the requirements for the chronological quest?
Yes. So the requirements are somewhat basic. They need to know the name of the person, where they're from, when they were born, and when they died, what they're most famous for, and depending on the age group, the number of pieces of information. So the second graders just needed three. The third graders needed five. And then the fourth and fifth graders needed a minimum of 6 to 10. But some of them flipped their sheets over. They were adding on the back. They were just gaining as much information as they could. And actually, it was really funny because yesterday we were practicing in the gym. So we want to give the students rhetoric skills as well. So for our second, third, fourth, and fifth graders, we give them a chance to talk into a microphone, which can be a little scary at first, and say the thing that they're most famous for. Well, we did it once and the first time is always a little rough. But then when we went back again the second time, the kids said, can I add a new fact? And I said, oh, you can only tell me one thing. And they said, well, can I switch out the fact from the, I said, yes, you can. And so they, on the spot, were changing their presentation, which again is a hidden skill when you think of having to speak in front of people and having to be, and being ready to change that. So each of those rhetoric goals that we hit, and especially at the young age, we find that those victories allow us then to ask for much greater things later on. So the chronological quest is just another little piece that we do in place to prepare them for even their senior thesis.
I think that's pretty amazing when you think, though, of just how quickly they can put the audience members, especially their family, just kind of in its proper place and be able and have just the ambition to want to bring that fact forward by pushing that fear and worry off to the side.
Yeah, they're just so excited that they have something to share.
Right.
Well, and that's not the only time they are presenting publicly either. So even the young kids have had quite a few opportunities by the time they do this chronological quest to speak in front of their peers and in front of parents, and that does help with the confidence level.
And just on a side note, we're just about 4 weeks away from our speech meet also, so all the students are memorizing much bigger pieces of information. Yes. So even having this chronological quest here, we are helping to make a solid foundation for them when they present.
Yeah, and just an important thing to note is that this is a skill that really transcends all subject areas. It transcends all career types, because there are very few careers where you don't end up doing some type of public speaking, whether that be in front of other peers at work or in front of clients or what have you. So regardless of whether a child goes into math or science or the humanities, it's going to be important for them to learn these skills of presentation.
And I remember even when I was in college, I mean, there were those intro to public speaking courses where people were doing it for the first time.
I had one, and I remember being scared to death. Little did I know I would end up in a position where I would have to do a lot of public speaking. Yeah. If you would have told me that my freshman year of college, in like speech 101, I would have said, no way.
And if you don't mind me interjecting just slightly, I have a cute little anecdote from yesterday. We have new students that start each year. And sometimes the fear of parents is when they start new at Liberty and we have these big expectations, how is my child going to feel in that spot? Well, it was a new third grader, and it's a boy that has had a little rough start to transferring to Liberty, but he's growing a lot. So it's week 5. Yesterday, I'm doing a costume clinic to help the parents to provide costumes. And as this little boy starts to get his costume on, I see his shoulders pull back, his head comes up, and a child who had kind of hidden himself a little bit, he stood up, and with his eyes brighter than sunlight, he looks at me and says, Mrs. Smith, when is this? And I said, it's Tuesday. He goes, I can't wait.
Oh,
and this is the same child that even weeks earlier you would think, oh boy, I don't know how this is going to go. When I give him the microphone, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And he's so excited. And so much of that is taking learning and making it play, especially in the lower school. So we're just playing. We're playing in historical characters with exact facts and information. So
That's fantastic.
And with that too, I mean, putting on the costume and the uniform, it's like almost the historical person like becomes the student. So they kind of have that identification going on too.
And you want to hear something a little funny? Okay, so there's a student who's Albert Einstein, and when they say their fact, they say their name, and they say I, so they're in character. He's got a German accent.
No.
Yes, he was practicing.
That is so great. How old is that child?
Fourth grader.
Yeah. Wow.
So they start to get to where they're thinking, I'm going to have some fun with this.
Yeah, that's great.
And then you also see the, you're married to so-and-so, and that's the father, and they're just connecting all the people together in history. And I have to tell you, as a curriculum director, when I hear our students talking about these historical names just like they would talk about any maybe pop star or anything like that, it just says, yes, this is what kids should be focusing on today. People who've made history. People that are worth spending time memorizing.
Absolutely. You know, in the spirit of talking about the different developments that are happening for the kids as they undergo this activity, what would you say that the staff at Liberty has as learning goals for students that are participating in the chronological quest?
Sure. So there's different standards that the teachers are looking at, but a lot of them are gaining basic historical knowledge and being able to put it in the correct context. So, for example, so in fourth grade, they're studying the Constitution. No, I'm sorry, the Declaration of Independence. And so as they're studying that, they can take these different characters, and the characters at that time, then the students get to say, hey, I was George Washington. So during this time, they can add on to what they're even learning in class because of what that student learned. So there's a leadership element built into it where the students are actually taking leadership to expand the knowledge of the content within that class.
Well, that is very interesting. We are going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue with Kathy Smith and our curriculum director from Liberty Classical Academy discussing the chronological quest. Join us in a minute.
Are you looking to build or remodel your home? If you can dream it, Hagstrom Builder can do it. Whether it's new construction, renovation, or remodel, Hagstrom Builder will craft an architectural design to reflect your lifestyle and taste. Hagstrom Builder specializes in working with landscape and light to bring the beauty of your surroundings in. From Minnetonka to the St. Croix Valley and everything in between, Hagstrom Builder is available to make your dream home come true. For more information, visit HagstromBuilder.com. Hagstrom Builder, no shortcuts, ever.
Are you looking to hire more staff, but you're too busy to run through the process? Are you exhausted from paging through hundreds of unqualified resumes to find one employee that has the skills you require? Maybe you want to create a more positive work environment by eliminating underperforming employees. Or perhaps you're looking to be hired, but can't find the right fit. Let JP Staffing simplify your search, saving you both time and frustration. JP Staffing is a full-service boutique staffing business specializing in accounting and finance, human resources, and office administration on temporary to hire, or direct hire basis. If you have hiring needs, the team at JP Staffing will provide honest feedback concerning your job descriptions, salary, benefit packages, and company culture. If you're looking for a job, JP Staffing professionals will work with business contacts across the Twin Cities to find the best position for you. JP Staffing has successfully placed candidates all across the metropolitan area and western Wisconsin. Acting as a constant resource for its clients, JP Staffing.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Well, welcome back to Education Nation. We are here in studio with Kathy Smith from Liberty Classical Academy. She is the curriculum director, and she's talking about the chronological quest, which is going to be happening next Tuesday at the school, and the kids are eagerly anticipating that opportunity. So we're just going to keep asking you questions.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind there.
I don't mind at all.
All right. I have to just comment on the fact that Mark Durkin, my co-host and executive producer, actually had a question that we were wondering about, and it turns out that he's giving Kathy now a new idea for how to improve even above and beyond the chronological quest, and her mind just went during the break. So I love the way her mind goes. She's so gifted. So anyway, are there any criteria for the specific historical
sure.
figures, Kathy, that are chosen for presentation?
Yes, that's a wonderful question. There's a lot of people that we could pick through history, but we actually pick the characters that we come across in our curriculum. So, for example, in ancient history, we have like Ashurbanipal, King Cyrus, Pericles, Confucius, Aesop, King Minos, King David, Sargon, Homer, Nebuchadnezzar, Moses, Cheops, wow. Archimedes. I mean, these are just some
Can
examples.
Can I just stop you for a second?
Yeah.
I've maybe heard of... five of those that you just mentioned. What a gift that these kids are being given.
Yeah.
I just want to say, for them to be able to learn and know who these people are, they formed the foundation of civilization, ancient
right.
civilization, and it matters. It matters for us to be able to know where we came from. So
yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah, well,
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. I just think that, you know, it makes me sad when people might underestimate what a child can comprehend
yes.
or understand.
Mm-hmm.
That these people in history, like I was helping Pericles get ready, you know, and mm-hmm. and I said, well, you know, are you from Sparta or Athens? He's like, Athens. I said, so what do you think, red or blue? Blue, right? That's right. And it was just really neat to think of himself as a leader, like as a Greek leader mm-hmm. himself, that he could connect to that you don't have to get highfalutin about, you know, was right or wrong or all those types of things at the grammar stage.
Right.
You just introduce them.
Right.
And then suddenly these people from 3,000 years ago are like they're here mm-hmm. and now, and they're very comfortable to talk about. And so later on, when you bring up that name, they go, oh yeah, I know him. Mm-hmm. I know Pericles, you know, mm-hmm. we go way back, or, you know, those types of things. And we have some very interesting, you know, costumes that kids are going to be wearing here at the end of the month too, because they already have their chronological quest. So I think they might go door to door as Pericles.
That's a great idea.
Who are you?
I know.
You have a few minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah. But we have, you know, and this goes across the board. So, you know, Charlemagne, Alfred the Great, Leif Erikson, William the Conqueror, King Richard the Lionheart, you know, moving on into the Renaissance, Queen Elizabeth, William Shakespeare, Charles, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Rembrandt. You know, these are the type of names that the kids are interacting with as they're doing history. We move into modern. We've got Mahatma Gandhi, Franklin Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, James Watt, Karl Marx. You know, they're mm-hmm. good, bad, whatever. They're part of history.
Yes.
And so we're not afraid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not afraid to talk about what happened.
Right.
And how has that affected us even today? Mm-hmm. That, yeah. And then we transfer that even to tell them that their lives are important mm-hmm. and their lives can affect all of time, just as these people. These were just mm-hmm. people
right.
that did
yeah.
amazing things. And as we train right. moral leaders, as we're making inspiring leaders for our nation, mm-hmm. we want them to be familiar with these other leaders that have made change.
Absolutely.
World changes.
Well said, Kathy.
Oh,
really well said. So what specific types of things are the students actually graded on when they're giving their presentations?
Sure. Well, this isn't there's some things that we are very specific on grading on mm-hmm. because that's very helpful. This does have an overall grade, but more of it is feedback. It's just guiding the student in their growth. But with the elements, so we have the human timeline that happens in the gym. And that, the goal is to be able to get up there, speak loudly, confidently, and to actually, you have to memorize who you are and one person, one thing about yourself. Mm-hmm. But then they're going to go back into the classrooms and they will actually present their poster board with all the information on it to their class and another class that's watching and any parents that are there. And so it's at that time where the classroom teacher can watch and look and see how's their student doing well, what guidance might they need. So we're not going to, you know, we're not going to make a student feel bad or anything with any sort of a grade, but we're going to say, hey, next time, you know, make sure your feet are solid when you're up there. Make sure you've got good eye contact, that you're talking loud enough. So mm-hmm. those types of things, I guess, are the assessments that are being done. But overall, we really want them to enjoy history. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. this has that element of joy that I think mm-hmm. if I was going to look across the, you know, 100 and some kids and ask, you know, what do I see here? I just want to see that joy, and to see it really, it's building now as we're just days away from the actual event. And it's similar to like a musical or something where they've been preparing and they just can't wait for that performance. And mm-hmm. so they are ready to perform. And the assessment is the victory that they have when they present, both in the gym in front of a couple hundred people,
yeah,
and
right.
and within their classrooms in front of the smaller groups.
Yeah, that's really. This is truly one of the best events of the year for the parents. I think the parents love this event.
Yeah.
I think we get a lot more people in to watch the chronological quest than a lot of other things that are happening during the school day
sure,
throughout
yeah.
the year. So it does speak volumes about yeah. the excitement level.
I think we all yeah. enjoy a little history review.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
And it's fun. The parents will also come up to the students and they'll ask them questions like, oh, King Richard the Lionheart, you know,
yeah.
I remember, I've learned about him. But
yeah.
Yeah. So then, I mean, that's a good example too, because King Richard the Lionheart, we have fun with him, with Robin Hood and John and Runnymede and those kinds of things in the elementary school. But as we talked about those coming back to the history again later.
Yeah.
Then when they're in middle school and they're old enough to do a comparison, they can ask the question, was King Richard a good king?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was on the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time to get to Israel, so he was not in England as much as he should have been. So although that's not something you want to talk about in grammar school necessarily, in the logic stage, it's right. a great chance. But that teacher, they don't have to start from scratch.
Right. And that is the beauty of the classical method. It really is. To set the tools of each of the subjects in the lower mm-hmm. school years, it saves so much more time for when they get up through the middle and upper school years. Mm-hmm. And the teachers can go deeper with them then.
Yeah.
And consequently, by the time they reach high school, they can address the issues of rhetoric in all their classes.
Yeah.
They can They don't, you know, in science class, they don't have to re-memorize the chemical elements, you know, or in their chemistry class, because they memorized those, most of those in fourth grade.
Right.
Or in third grade, actually.
Yep.
So it is. It works really well.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier, Kathy, about the third grader who had transferred to the school and how he's been kind of caught up to speed on what goes on at Liberty, how he's holding his head up high once he put the costume on. You've seen confidence level grow with this particular student. I want to focus on how maybe you would describe the progression that you've seen students collectively make from the point of starting this project all the way to the delivery of presentation for a small audience.
Sure. Well, first of all, especially the the younger ones, when I sit them down and tell them, okay, these are basically the five steps you're going to do, they look at me like, what? And we have some core principles or core values at Liberty, and one of them is undaunted perseverance. And so this is an example of where we told the kids, we gave them something and they went, oh my goodness. And then we showed them step by step, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And again, those victories are gained by doing that. And so I would say the second graders have the largest growth that I see, because they're still a little bit younger. And but the, oh my goodness, the third and fourth graders are like, bring it on.
Right.
They're like, just show me what I need. Okay. And then the fourth graders, I mean, they basically did it in a half an hour.
What?
In a 30-minute period, they got their research, made their poster, and presented, like, within that time period.
Wow.
Wow.
That's incredible.
It is. Huh. It is. And they said, okay, what else?
And
Mrs.
this research
Smith?
Was from books,
books
too.
This was from
books.
Yes. Like,
you know, a simple Google keyword search.
No. And, you know, I just want to kind of say in the sideline that, you know, we are really wanting to give them the hands-on skills. Sometimes technology can just make it overwhelming.
Yeah.
But here, a book in front with information and a clear thing to do, they can fill it out and get ready. And then they realize, oh, I mastered that. Now I can add on to it. And so, again, so third and fourth, you know, they were just really enjoying it. Oh, I'm sorry, third, fourth, and fifth. Second graders have grown. And now that they have their project done, they keep sharing it. They've come up to me and they said, Mrs. Smith, I have it memorized.
Oh, they're
I said,
so
you have your whole presentation memorized? Yes. It's about a minute long, but they have it all memorized.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, I don't even know that adults can memorize and, you know, that quickly, even a minute's worth of material. So.
Not me.
I know.
I can feel the excitement. I mean, just as you're talking about it, the excitement that the students have as they're really working through this process. How would you say, you know, the fruitfulness of the chronological quest, how has that encouraged you specifically as a curriculum director the teachers also, too, that you work with on this?
Well, my goal for Liberty Classical Academy is that when you walk down the halls, the light bulbs are going off all over the place in the classroom, that the kids are excited about learning something new, attaching something to what they've already known, laying that foundation. So as a curriculum director, when I sit back and I watch their research and them interacting with this information and adding on themselves, nobody's spoon feeding them now. They are free. We've given them the skills to be able to acquire that knowledge. That's what brings me so much joy.
I've heard you say that in the past, that don't give them what they can do themselves. That is such good advice.
John Milton Gregory, The Seven Laws of Learning.
Is that where that came from? Oh, okay. That's well, it is good advice.
It developing the love of learning.
Yes.
That's all we can hope for.
Well, we are so grateful to have you in studio today, Kathy. You just have shed such great light on the chronological quest and the value in it and what it's about. And I'm so grateful, too, that you are the curriculum director at Liberty. You are full.
Thank you.
You are a fountain of good ideas, and you have such a grasp of classical education and how it all fits together from preschool all the way on up through 12th grade. And we are very fortunate to have you at Liberty.
No, thank you.
And I also want to let our listeners know that we have an all-access tour coming up on October 11th. This is a few weeks out, but mark your calendar for that. From 8:30 to 9:30, you can come and tour the school and find out what's happening at this school, other unique things. That day, there's going to be a life-size tabernacle
It's a third the size. Just
sorry. Thank
that
you. Thanks for correcting me.
A lot
on
of property
that.
For that.
Thank you for correcting me. But you'll get a tour of the school. You'll see that tabernacle, and you'll just find out about some of the other yes. great things that are happening at Liberty. So again, that's October 11th from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. Check our website, libertyclassicalacademy.org, for more information. And thank you again for joining us here today in studio, and we will see you all next week on Education Nation.